see. I'm gonna have this on. It's gotta be in source 2. I think that's that thing. There we are, there's me. Okay. So. I guess I need to pass out these guys. Is there anyone here who wasn't here last day? Oh, I got two of them. Okay, Lauren, and I'll make you another copy, Lauren. How's that? So anyway, this is the lecture worksheet here, and this is the one. One for you, Aaron. I think you could do it on the same. Why waste paper, you know? I mean, 1, 2, 3, 5. Check and see whether I got enough there. May not have. Here's another one just in case. 5 here. Okay. Okay, everyone get a lecture worksheet? Mm-hmm. Not quite yet. Ben still needs one. Mackenzie needs one. Okay, everybody got one? Okay. Good, I want to make sure you all get that because that's actually what I use for taking attendance. Okay, so I didn't give you a homework last day, just the lecture worksheet, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I probably should give you a homework today, huh? Well, yeah, but it helps. I don't know. I was kind of lax about homework last quarter, and, you know, at the end of the quarter, they said, a little more homework would be better. And so probably at the beginning of the quarter, when you aren't yet totally snowed under, is a better time to give you homework than at the end, right? Maybe, yeah. Maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. If you're like me, you ended up not quite getting all your projects done over Christmas break, and so you're still trying to scratch around and get those done. It's one of those deals. Anyway, so homework one here. Emmys will find this really easy. So, anyway. How do you guys do unit vectors? Do you like X hats or I hats or what do you guys do like for unit vectors?
I, J, and K hat.
I, J, and K. What happens if we have more than three?
I, J, K, L.
What if we had an infinite number?
And then you have an infinite number.
X1, X2, X3, X4.
Obviously yeah. Too difficult for us to notate, so we shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
No, I think we have my friend in the backyard. What is your name, by the way? We got everybody else's name last day.
I'm Drake.
Drake. Okay, so this is Drake. Maybe we should quickly go through here and we'll go. Let's see. We got Travis and oh boy,
Edgar,
and we've got Twyla's son,
Bryson.
That's right, Bryson, Mackenzie, and Ben. And let's see, and then we have Adam in the back here, and
Joe,
okay, Adam and Joe, and I'm forgetting your name too,
Brad,
Joe and Brad, and then we have, Alan, and we have, I'm stumped again,
Aaron.
Aaron, okay. Aaron, like A-R-R-O-N or A?
Two A's.
Two A-A-R-O-N, right? Okay. Okay, and then we got Drake in the back, and we've got Libby, and we've got Aaron again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you spell it the same way?
A-A-R-O-N.
Yeah, okay, well, that's it's got two Aarons here, so if I'm in doubt, I can guess Aaron, and I have a better chance of anything else, right? Let's see. So let's see. I forgot about Edgar today, and I forgot about Bryson, and who else did I forget? Joe. I forgot about Joe, and uh-oh. I forgot about you twice now. It says too many things in the stack there.
Brad?
Brad, okay. And okay. And then Aaron, and who else did I forget about? Okay, so I think we're okay, right? Did I get everybody's name right? More or less, kind of, after a long enough try here. Okay, so anyway, Drake, those are all the your classmates here. And, you know, I like Drake's idea because we're actually going to have to use his idea in class today. Because, you see, remember last day we were talking about functions as vectors, right? And the biggest difference between functions and vectors as we're used to thinking about them is that functions, if you think about them as vectors, they have to have an infinite number of dimensions. And we're kind of, you know, I can, on the blackboard, I can draw two dimensions. See, notice this? Nice two dimensions, right? And, you know, if you push comes to shove, I can kind of do three dimensions by, you know, because we live in three space, right? But when I go to four...
It helps if I can project into three
space. Yeah, right. It helps if you can project into three space. But, you know, you guys are used to, in linear algebra, you wrote vectors with many more than three numbers on them, right? And, you know, I talked about the idea that we'd take this function of time and we'd run it through an A to D converter, you know, to make a CD out of it. Every 44,000th of a second, we would grab another piece of data and we'd, you know, record all that data on our, you know, on our computer. And that's what we'd write to the CD so that we could listen to Sandy Patty again. And it works, right? I think we might be able to kind of take that same idea. You know, when you have Sandy Patty's song, it's 5 minutes long, and it has a dimension for every 144,000th of a second for those whole 5 minutes. So that's 44,000 times 60 times 5, right? Dimensions, right? So, you know, we can do this, I think. And in reality, if we want to do an actual function of time and actually get it right for every point, not just every 44,000th of a second, we've got an infinite number of dimensions, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're thinking about. Those were the things that we tried to get you to think about last day. Hopefully, you know, as you rode your bike in the sunshine out there to Whitman Mission with your girlfriend, you weren't totally concentrating on her, you know. You thought just a little bit about this interesting idea of functions as vectors, right? I mean, I can hope, I can pray that maybe I'd have a half a chance there, but maybe not. Anyway, so we were going to write some things here, and just for starters here, I will use I and J for Travis, okay? Just for Travis this time, okay? Because you're used to that, okay? So that's okay. I want you to go from what you're used to and kind of move you into something you're not used to, but is really just the same thing. It's just a new way of writing it, a new language, a new name, you know? I actually kind of hate having so many names. You know, it would be even more confusing if every day you came in, you all came in with a different name. Think how bad that would be on me. Yeah, no, don't do that. But so I'm apologizing for what we're doing. But what we're doing is going to be more versatile than what they did before and what you did before, the I and the J. Okay? It's gonna be more powerful. So anyway, the problem is, given this, find B prime, which is equal to something, and I need to know what this something is, and it's going to be, this is I here, and this is J, and it's going to be I prime, and I prime is like this, right? That's I prime, right? Plus something J prime. I want to know what those things are right there. First of all, maybe this is going to be really an easy problem here. And then I'd like to do this. If I prime is equal to A hat sub I, sub 1, and J equals A hat sub 2, my hat is supposed to signify a unit vector, okay? This little hat indicates a unit vector. Okay. And if that's true, and I prime equals A hat prime sub 1, and J prime equals A hat prime sub 2, what I want you to do is write B sub n prime as some function. Well, maybe I don't want to write what the answer is here. Some function of some function L equals 1 to 2 of something times something. Okay? I want you to find the blanks. Find the blanks. Okay? So you kind of got a picture there. This should be a really easy problem. Okay? Ben? I've almost got it done. I see this code here. This is my Python script that does the automated processing. And back here, right here, it's blank. And if I'd had 5 more minutes, they would be up there from yesterday. So anyway, I've already, I think I need to, do I need to save that Python script? I just modified it. It's already saved. So you see, it's that close. So anyway, if I hadn't spent so much time having a good time chatting with people this morning, I would have got that all done earlier, but I had a better time. So anyway, didn't quite make that. So this should be up there, right after class, okay? And my apologies for not getting the other stuff done earlier. There's too many things going on. Are there questions about the problem? This shouldn't be too much more difficult than, these problems here, right? But this one is not due as quickly as these things right here, okay? This thing that I hand out in class, actually, maybe you should be able to hopefully do it in class, okay? But if not, you have until the next class period, okay? And I want you to turn this in, the one I gave you today. You could either turn it in end of the class period if you're done today, or turn it in, today is what, Wednesday? So turn it in Friday, at the beginning of class period. But this guy right here is on the initially due, finally due system, so today's Wednesday, is initially due Friday, finally due Monday. So, this guy isn't, but do this one after this one, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's homework one. So what are we doing today? Well, what we're really working on is a thing called Fourier series. That's my ultimate goal, okay?
Will this homework be posted online?
Yeah, it will be on the class notes webpage right here. You know, what I do is I take a picture of this thing right here, you know, with the camera, and then it looks like, I could quickly show you, like, last quarter's notes here. I think, yeah, here we go, last quarter's notes. So here's what it looks like, you know, when you go online. So there's, you know, that's the first picture of last quarter's notes, okay? So that's, this is what, it will be this instead of that on this quarter's notes. And the URL is on the back of the syllabus thing there. Okay, so here's the idea. I want to give you, you know, kind of a big picture thing here. Here is the time axis. You know, this could be position if you like as well, but normally in this class we'll use time, okay? But often, you know, in other applications it could be position. So anyway, I'm going to use time. So suppose I had this this function here. In fact, I'm going to move this. I was going to call this 0 here, but I'm going to move 0 over just a little bit. So I'm going to have function, well, I'm going to have a square wave here. Okay, so this point right here, that's 0. I'm going to call this point right here capital T because, you see, notice this is a periodic function. If I call this thing x of t, and it's x of t equals x of t plus capital T. You agree? Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's just, if I just shift it over, it's the same, right? Okay, it's a square wave. This is supposed to be a square wave. This is an odd function. In other words, x of minus t equals minus x of t. So that means if I swap the axis around here, you know, it's just upside down to the thing, you know, an odd function. Now I wish, oh, I have one, a green one. Wow, my wish came true. Okay, now here's what I'm going to do here. This is, I want to try and approximate this square wave by a bunch of sinusoids, okay? And so I'm going to make sine waves that are kind of like this. Okay. So that thing is, this green thing is, you know, a kind of a crude approximation to the square wave, right? Now, it looks like I need to make it go up here and down there and up here, right? And I need to make this one go, let's see, which way does it need to go here? Down. Yeah, this needs to go down, and this needs to go up, and this needs to go down, right? And this needs to go up, and that needs to go down, and that needs to go up, right? Ooh, well, that's kind of like a sine wave too, right? Maybe if I added this guy in here like this, I'm just going to guess it's about, is that about right? Not bad, huh? Yeah. Now, if I look at that a little bit more, and I don't want to do this, I can only put this about the limit of my abilities here, but you see, what's going to happen is it's going to be, this guy right here is going to be a little bit too big, and it's going to be a little bit too little there, and really I need something with, instead of 3 bumps, the next one's going to be 5 bumps. Right? Can you see that? And so the idea is maybe I could write this x of t like this. Could I write x of t as equal to ? Something like this. Summation n equals 1, 3, 5, ... all the odd numbers to infinity. Maybe I'll let myself go all the way to infinity. I'm going to need something moving mighty fast to make this thing jump up, you know, in zero time, right? So I'm going to need some really high frequency components there. And I'm going to say this thing is, I'm going to call it B sub n times sine of 2 pi n t over cap t. See, when I put in n equals 1, that's that big green one right here, right? Sine of 2 pi t over cap t, right? That would be a sine wave that had a period of cap t, right? And a fundamental frequency of just 1, the same frequency as the square wave, right? And then the n equals 3 term would be this little green guy I drew in here, right? And the n equals 5 one was the one I kind of waved my arms about and didn't even bother trying to draw in, right? Right? And you can imagine there might be some other ones, you know. So I kind of put all the odd terms there. Okay. So you got that in your mind. Let's go over here and do something a little different, okay? Maybe this thing over here a little different might really help you on your homework problem over there. See, this is kind of new notation coming from the homework over there. I want to do a new notation. Oh, maybe this is even going to do your homework problem. Anyway, we'll see. Such is life. Okay, suppose a vector v here was written like this. Do L equals 1, 2, 2 of v sub L times a sub L hat. Now, that's really just exactly what you'd expect. That's just like this thing up here. You see, this is B sub 1 right here, right? This is A sub 1 hat, just like I wrote right here. No hat, just A sub 1 right here, right? And this guy is B sub 2, right? And this dude is, J is a B sub 2 hat here, or A sub 2 hat, I mean, right? So this notation here is just a different way than you're used to of writing the same old thing you're used to, right?
And we write it that way so that we accommodate lots of dimensions.
Yeah, because look at this. This is kind of like the same thing, isn't it? I mean, look at this guy. This B sub N here is kind of like that B sub L, right? Maybe I should have made it N instead of L. Let's make it N. Right? And we'll just change it. I'm sorry for all those guys who are writing notes. They can't erase it with their finger like me. N. Right? Right? And you know, I only had 2 dimensions here, right? So I stopped at 2, right? But here I kind of figured I needed a lot of dimensions, right? Now, why did I figure I needed a lot of dimensions here? Yeah, that's right, Joe, because you see, I needed pretty high frequency sine waves to make this thing jump up so quickly, right? That means it has to jump up like in no time. That means really, it's like n going to infinity here. It's like way, way, way up there, right? And also, if I think about this black line right here, this black square wave right here, if you think about it, like yesterday, we had this kind of a picture yesterday, right? I didn't get the notes up, but it was kind of like this, you know? And we were thinking about every different t along here as being like a different dimension, kind of like this n is a different dimension or that n is a different dimension, right? We made a vector and we made it, you know, this was the first number in the vector, that was the second one, the third one, and so on. And we needed an infinite number of dimensions to actually describe this g of t even between 0 and capital T, even if it was periodic. If it, you know, repeated itself every capital T, that's a lot less information than if it's totally general, right? Just goes on and does its thing forever. But even if it was just between 0 and t, I still need an infinite number of numbers in there because there's an infinite number of real numbers between 0 and t, right? And each real number in between 0 and t is just like this n right here, right? And so if I needed an infinite number of numbers to write it in this kind of like this t basis set, this t was the n, right? I probably would need it an infinite number of dimensions to write it if n was the n, kind of like over here. If I had the I and the j, right, it took two I and j, two dimensions, to write this vector v here. I figure it takes two dimensions to write this vector v in the prime coordinate system as well, right? This and that, right? I mean, it's the same amount of information, right? So I kind of figured I needed an infinite number of dimensions there for that same reason, right? And if we look at this guy, we call these guys right here, we call these things back in linear algebra, you called them basis vectors, right? Weren't they? Isn't that what you called these things? Basis vectors? And these things right here, these were the coefficients. And sometimes the basis vectors were actually unit vectors, or often they were, right? And these guys right here were usually orthogonal to one another, right? Not necessarily. Doesn't have to be, but it sure made life a lot easier if they're orthogonal. Right, so I want to make a further supposition here, and I want to say they're orthogonal. So I'm going to say AN dot AM, like that, is equal to, well, what I want to do is I want to say it's equal to 1 if N equals M, and 0 if N does not equal M. Okay? And I'm going to do this so often. Notice this took quite a bit of writing here. I'm going to do this so often that I'm going to define this guy right here as delta NM. This means delta MN is a function that is 1 if N equals M, or it's 0 if M does not equal N. Okay? Is that all right? Maybe I should. Yeah, right. I guess the same there, right? Is that okay? So that way I don't have to write this big hairy thing. I can write that little hairy thing, okay, instead. I'm trying to save ink. You see, these things go dry so fast. Yeah. Now, you see, when we were working in vectors, and you were doing physics problems, remember we talked at the end of last day about the idea that when you had a spherically symmetric gadget, you know, like I'm an electrical engineer, so I might think of a spherically symmetric charge distribution. And on that spherically symmetric charge distribution, you could use Gauss's law, and you could calculate what the fields were using Cartesian coordinates. You know, and you're going to have things like the square root of x squared plus y squared plus z squared in there, right? Which is actually r. Or you could do it in spherical coordinates, and all you've got is r. I like it much better, right? So much better. And what's the difference between spherical coordinates and Cartesian coordinates? Well, it's basically the same idea as the difference between these x and y, and the x prime and the y prime, the prime and the n prime coordinates, right? It's just a different way of writing. How do you get from the origin to that point in space, right? In spherical coordinates, you say, well, I need to go out this distance, but to figure out what direction I go is I measure this angle and I measure that angle and I go out this distance at those two angles, right? Whereas if you're in Cartesian, you say, well, you walk along the x-axis this many yards, and then you walk along the y-axis that many yards, and then you climb up the z-pole that many yards, and you're there, right? I mean, and it's just two different ways of saying how you get from the origin to that point there, right? And you guys know that it's possible to convert between one and the other. In fact, here's a problem. You have to convert between one and the other, right? Well, I think we're doing the same thing right here. See, you look at this guy. When I give you x of t as the square wave, what am I telling you? Well, I'm telling you about how, what that x of t is, how to get from the origin to that x of t. What I'm telling you is, along the, if I start at zero here, along the zero dimension, you know, right here at the zero one, it and I don't know whether there's a dark point here and on a circle down there, or maybe there's a dark point right here. Actually, I think if this thing is going to work with these green things, the dark point has to be right there. Otherwise, it's never going to work, because I know every sine wave is going to go right through, you know, this is where it has to go, right? I mean, I have an open circle down here and an open circle up there. You know what I mean, right? So at zero, it's got to be right here, and I go over here, and then it's a little bit, it's up there, all the way up there, the next point over, right? So if I'm going to, I can describe this x of t, this square wave, as I can tell you every point along t what the value is, right? Or I could tell you what these b sub n's were for every n, assuming that if I actually did this, it would actually make that square wave. And we kind of think like it might, right? At least approximate it, right? And if that's true, and you can do this problem over here, if you can find out how much in the I prime and how much in the J prime direction, if I tell you how much in the I and how much in the J, we should be able to do this same thing over here, right? And find out how much in each nth direction we have here if you told me at every T, right? Does that make sense? We should be able to do that. Maybe. There is a very big difference between this guy and this guy, though, okay? And that big difference might make this absolutely impossible for me. What is that big difference?
This one's limited at 2.
Yes. And, you know, I can solve two equations and two unknowns, and I can come out with these two dudes right here, right? Yeah.
Well, as long as there's an actual solution and it doesn't go to a measure. Well, even if it goes to a measure, you can do it.
I mean, you know, I can see from the picture it's got to work, right? You know, that this is going to be the V sub X. This is V sub Y. And V sub Y prime will be, where's Y prime? Yeah, right here. V sub Y prime will be this number, right? This is V sub Y, and that's V sub Y prime. And V sub x is this number, and V sub x prime is that long number right there. I can see there's two solutions there, right? And I think I could solve for those two things using two equations and two unknowns. But this has an infinite number, right? So maybe we should just give up and go home and say too bad, right? Let's not give up quite yet, okay? We need to give it a good college try here. And maybe what I should do is work this problem right here, because you've done this problem before. I mean, or actually, you're going to do this problem right here, okay? So we want to further suppose that B prime could be written like this. Summation, I don't know, m equals 1 to 2 of B sub m prime A hat prime M, right? This is basically saying the same thing as I wrote right here, except those two things are now in this nice new notation, right? And what I want to do is I want to find V sub M prime, right? Oh, that's your problem over there, really, right? So let's just see if we can do it. And I need your help. How do you find B sub M prime? What is this? This is the component in the M prime direction, right? Mm-hmm. How do I find the component of a vector in a certain direction? Yes. Joe gets us out of trouble. The dot product, right? And that's actually part of your thing right here, right? Part A here. Right? Remember? So let's just write this recall here. V sub m prime Well, let's just do it and see if it works, okay? So if we think we're going to take V prime dot AM prime, well, I got the prime on the wrong thing, A hat prime, like that. Well, let's just do it. We'll just take this side and we'll do the dot product with the M prime vector. That's the one to do it with, right, Joe? We want the M prime thing here. Now, I'm going to change this a little bit. Can I make this the N prime? You see, the reason I'd want to do this is because I don't want to get this M, which is a dummy variable of summation, mixed up with the one I'm really trying to get, right? Is that okay? So I'm just going to do it with the N prime. So then I'm going to have this vector right here. It's got M equals 1 to 2 of V sub M prime, A sub M prime hat, dotted with A sub N, like that, right? And I better say up here equals A N dot A M. In other words, the primes are also orthogonal, okay? Because that's what we got over there. Notice they're orthogonal, right? From the picture. Okay, so if I do this, this becomes equal to the summation M equals 1 to 2 of what? V sub M prime, right? Now, what is A sub M, this guy right here? You know, if I just took those guys, what is that? It's up here, right? It's this delta MN, right? So I'll just put in delta MN, right? Delta M N. This was A sub N hat prime dot A sub M hat prime, right? You agree? Okay. And so now, can we do this summation here? Actually, this summation should be pretty easy, shouldn't it? Because you see, if M does not equal N, I'm multiplying by zero, right? So what's the answer here? What does this equal here? So I'm going to run through all the m's. M equals 1. Was n 1? Well, you tell me. If he picked n equals 1, then I'm going to get something, right? Yep. If n wasn't 1, then I won't, right? If n was 2, then I'll get it the next term, right? So it's really going to be the nth one of these dudes right here, right? Because it multiplies by 1, right? So this would be v sub n prime, right? Well, wait a minute, that's just exactly what Joe told me. He told me to find the n prime component. Here I just take the dot product with the unit vector in that m direction, right? Oh, so this is all old stuff. You knew this anyway, right? Is that right? Is that okay? This is what Joe just told me to do, right? He said, oh, just take the dot product and it'll give you the answer. Well, it did, right here, there's the answer, right? You plug in n equals 1, and you got the first one. You plug in n equals 2, and you got the second one, right? Now, the nice thing about what this was, I didn't have to solve two equations and two unknowns, right? Why didn't I have to solve it? Because this thing right here, this is actually, if you write this in matrix notation, this is the identity matrix, right? This is the nth element right here of a matrix multiply. This delta MN. You know, it's like, see, identity matrix is 1 if the row and the column index are the same. That's this thing right up here, the top one, right? And it's 0 if the row and the column index are different, right? So this is really, this way of writing this thing right here with this summation is really a matrix multiply, right? This is the nth element, you know, the nth element of the output vector, you know. When you do a matrix multiply, it looks kind of like this, you know. We would have V sub 1 prime, V sub 2 prime, that's n equals 1 and n equals 2, equals this number right here, right? And this number, well, this is A sub 1 prime dot A sub 1 prime, right? n, and there's a dot product. That's the dot I just erased. And this is a sub, okay, which y is it here? Kind of like this is a sub 1 dot a sub 2 right here. These are primes. This is a sub 2 dot a sub 1. These are primes. And this is a sub 2 prime dot a sub 2 prime. Right? And this guy is really the identity matrix, right? 1, 0, 0, 1, right? Take the identity matrix, multiply it by this guy, you get that guy. And this thing right here, this is the nth row of this equation. Right? You agree? So, you know, if you put in n equals 1, that's the top row. You know, v sub 1 equals 1 times 0 times v sub 1, v sub, you know, right? It's like you've got this vector times that vector right there, right? So this is all just, you know, different notation for what you've done in linear algebra. Maybe it's the same notation, I don't know. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go back to this problem, and my question over here is, what is b sub m? I'm going to make it b sub m because I need to know what those, each one of those guys are for m equals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or no, I guess n equals 1, 3, 5, 7, whatever, right, all the odds, right? Because, you see, I just kind of guessed this, you know, I made this a little bit bigger here and I kind of, you know, seat of the pants, right? But there must be, if this thing is really going to equal that thing, there must be a right number for each one of these, right? Kind of like there's a right number for each one of these holes over here, right? Do you agree? And there's actually hope here now, because look it, I did this thing without solving two equations and two unknowns, right? And the reason I didn't have to solve two equations and two unknowns was this thing right here, right? Because these two things were orthogonal in the new coordinate system, right? Now, interestingly enough, if we think about the two coordinate systems here, the two coordinate systems are, the first one that I started out with was the t-coordinate system, right? And if the function x has a value right here and a value right next to it, right, you could kind of think of the unit vectors right here as like something tall and skinny right here, which only has a value at t equals 0, you know, for the first one. That would be the zeroth dimension, like the n equals 1 here, or, you know, n equals 1 over there or something, right? And then we move over a tiny little bit. That's the next one, right? And you could kind of think of a little pulse function that jumps at 0, 0, 0, boom, really big there, 0, 0, 0, right? And so each one of these little t dimensions, you know, can kind of be written kind of this way, except instead of like this, I mean, maybe it's easier to think of it over here where it's actually, you know, they're not quite so close together. I think of a little bar graph here, right? I mean, you know, I could kind of write this, I don't know, I should write it up here, maybe a little picture like this, you know. Here's a little thing, a little thing, a little thing, you know, and here that represents that point in the function and that point in the function, you know, and basically you started out with some function like this, you know, and so you made it up out of these little guys. Actually, if you look at an A to D or D to A converter, the you know, something that's like the output of your computer speakers, the one that has the little speaker symbol on it right here, the headphone symbol, you know, you look at what comes out of that thing. And it actually looks like this, choom, 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 little little pulses. If you look at the, you know, what's right out of the chip, often they'll run this through a low-pass filter, which smooths it out before it comes out of the headphones, you know, on your final product, you know. Then it sounds a little better. But if you look at it right out of the D to A chip, it does, it looks like little jumps on the oscilloscope. It's just there, you know. And so you might think of this as kind of your, what you're doing is you're making making up this function right here, at least approximating it by little pulses. You know, you got zero, it jumps up like that, and zero over here, right? And then the next one is zero here, jumps up big here, and zero over here, right? And those are like the little unit vectors, you know, a little pulse one high and a wide or whatever. You know, that's the unit vector for that little one, right? And you got one next to it and one next to it. And these guys are orthogonal. Why? Because if I multiply this one right here that jumps up like that, you know, if I take this one right here that jumps up like that and multiply it by this one right here that jumps up like that, right? Those are the two unit vectors, right? And add them up for every you know, position here and here, right? I'm going to get zero, right? That's how you do a dot product, isn't it? What do you do for a dot product? You take the x component times the x component plus the y component times the y component plus the z component times the z component, right? And here when I multiplied them together, I got zero, right? But if I multiplied the same one by the same one, I'd actually get something, right? Kind of like over here, I got a 1 when I multiplied the, you know, when I let n and m be the same, right? So maybe these little pulses right here are orthogonal right here. If we thought about it that way, maybe the way we've actually been looking at a function, you know, x of t, those each t represents a different orthogonal dimension, kind of like vectors, right? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's a wraparound in this case, right? Mm-hmm. It's a periodic kind of a deal. So my idea is maybe these guys right down here are orthogonal, these signs, because this thing looks like, I'm going to call it a basis function. And this guy right here is like a coefficient, right? Just like over here, this guy was the basis vector and those guys were the coefficients, right? And, you know, over here, see this an right here? I could write that an, if the n was 1, that would be this vector right here. I could write that I, which is the a1, I could write it in terms of the prime coordinates if I wanted to, right? Or I could take the prime coordinates, right? And write them in terms of, you know, like this I prime, I could write them in terms of the I and the j, right? And this sign with the t in there, see, this sign is written in terms of the t basis set, right? This is like this guy right here written, you know, if I wrote this an in terms of the prime coordinates. It's written in terms of t's, so I could write, you know, you can see them right here, how much each of these, you know, at different t's, what is that sign like, right? Each one of those vectors, you know, like this big green sine wave here, could be looked at as like this thing right here, this prime coordinate, right? The I prime. It's a basis function in another coordinate system, but it could be written in this original coordinate system, right? So 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, you've got to help me answer one question, because you see, Joe came up with this wonderful thing here that gave us the answer over here. And so probably, since this guy is so analogous to this guy, we could use the same technique that Joe used over here to solve this problem over here, right? And that answer would be kind of like this. It would be, we would want to take the dot product, or take the inner product, the dot product, I don't know what to call it, I'll write it, I don't know what to call it in functions here, product of x of t with, okay, now what did we do? We took the dot product over here of v with the nth prime coordinate vector, right? With, and since I'm using n here, I better make it the mth one. So what will it be? It will be with sine of 2 pi mt over cap t, right? That's what we want to do. We want to take the dot product on both sides of this equation with that. That's what we did over here, right? We took the dot product, as Joe said here. Take the dot product, right? And the problem is, how do you take a dot product over here? Well, how did you take a dot product over here?
Multiply and add.
Yeah, multiply and add, right? Multiply and add. Multiply and add. You got it. You got it. Multiply and add. Multiply and add. In other words, let's write it here. U dot V is equal to the summation of U sub N V sub N, right? Over N, right? Isn't that what we did? We took the components here, the nth component multiplied by the nth component, and add them all up, right? You know, x component times x component, plus y component, plus z component times z component. And we might have a whole bunch of them over here, more than x, y, and z, but we can still do that, right? Okay, so help me. So that will be, I need to take the teeth component here. What's the teeth component of x? Well, that'd just be x of t, isn't it? And what's the teeth component of that guy? Well, it's just that thing, right? 2 pi n, I wanted the nth one, mt over cap t, right? Right, now I gotta add, right? Add up over all the components. So I put what, a summation here? Almost. These guys are continuous. I don't sum when it's continuous. What do I do? Integrate, oh yeah, integrate. And I do dt, right? Now, what about the limits on the integral? Yeah, 0 to t, or minus t over 2 to t over 2, or something, right? It doesn't matter as long as it's over one limit, so I mean one period. So I'm going to go minus t over 2 to t over 2. Yeah, I like it. And so this is really, so this is, that's what we want to do, right? We can do this operation. You guys know how to integrate. You know how to multiply, right? If we multiply both sides of this equation by sine of this and integrate, that's what we did over here, right? So next day, that's what we'll have to do. And we'll have to see if it works. I mean, it worked here because of this property right here, right? Because of this property, right? So what we need to do is pray between now and next day that the sine of 2 pi nt over cap t multiplied by sine of 2 pi mt over capital T and integrated from minus t over 2 to t over 2 gives us 1 if m, or at least gives us some number if n equals m, and gives us 0 if m was not equal to n. The really important part was the 0, because if this hadn't been 0, I would have had two equations and two unknowns, right? And if it isn't 0 over here, I have an infinite number of equations, infinite number of unknowns, and I have to give up then, right? Does that make sense? So we want to pray that at least when you multiply sine of 2 pi nt by sine of 2 pi mt and integrate from minus t over 2 to t over 2, that we'll get 0 if m is not equal to n. If m equals n, I'll take something. It's okay if it, you know. Basically what that means is, see, this 1 meant these were unit vectors. If it had been 100, they would be 10 each, right? The vectors would have been 10 long each. And I can deal with units conversions, but I can't deal with this thing not being a 0 here, because I'd be having to solve an infinite number of equations, an infinite number of unknowns, and I'm not very good at that.
Where's the n in that? Where's the n coming in?
Well, the n will come in when I do the other side of the dot product. Maybe I should write that in here. I mean, I just did that side, so if I do it to this side, I've got to do it to this side. So I'm going to have this integral here, minus t over 2 to t over 2 of this summation here, n equals 1, 3, 5, dot, 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 to infinity, of b sub n, I guess, sine of 2 pi nt over t, sine of the other guy that I multiplied by, 2 pi mt over t dt, right? And I can bring this integral inside that sum, right? And now I've got the integral of the the integral of this times that, and that guy better be zero if m is not equal to n. Otherwise, this sum will make everything all coupled, and I'll be toast. We'll do it tomorrow. You'll see it happen. Or next day, Friday, whatever it is. Any questions? Sorry we were so rushed here, but... And I didn't answer enough of your questions, did I, Inya, on the take-home sheet?
I think so.
Yeah, well, okay. Work on it. If you have problems, come and see me. Basically it, right? So it's the length of the first vector. So it's the length of this vector, right?
Mm-hmm.
Times the cosine of theta, right?
Yeah. Times one. Because
right.
It's times the unit vector.
Because we're trying, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You got it figured out. So you got the first one, but you got to do the second one right here.
Yeah. Question two. I wasn't here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. How do I use Octave?
How do you install Octave, huh?
No,
how do you use Octave? Well, on next Tuesday, you could look online and do a tutorial, but next Tuesday, well, in class, we'll be doing some tutorials on Octave.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So right now, all I want you to do is just install it, and you can try it, you know. I showed people in class, like, here, I could show you just a really simple thing you can do with Octave here. So here's Octave. I can do.
That's Octave.
No, well, not yet. I have to type it first. So okay, here's Octave now, and so I could make an equation. Say maybe if I made t, I'm going to make t equals a vector here. Oops, y. I got y. Let me do t. T equals. I'm going to start at zero. I'm going to step by. I don't know, 0.1, and I'm going to go to. One. Can you read that over there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Zero. Zero. It's zero. It's zero colon. 0.1, going to one. So this starts out at zero. We're going to have 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, up to one. So we should have like 10, right? Let's just see. We hit return, and there we go. Here's the vector. T equals 0, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5. Now suppose I wanted to make a vector of t squared. And so I'd like a vector that had 0 squared is 0, 0.1 squared is 0.01, and so on, right? I made all those things. So if I wanted to do that, I could do, I'll go ts for t squared equals, and I'll go t, and I could do dot star t, dot star t, I didn't do a dot star t. Okay, so if I did that, now the dot means do an element by element multiply. So it took t, the zero element of t, the first element of t, multiplied it by itself. So I got zero. This one multiplied by itself is that one. This one multiplied by itself is that one.
Okay, so basically it's...
So this, I mean, there's, and then we could do something like plot it, t, comma, ts, okay? I do that, and here's the plot, t squared. Yeah.
Okay.
So those are just, I mean, that's a tiny little introduction. I mean, Octave is like, it's what I use for my calculator. I don't bother with a calculator anymore, really. I just use Octave. It'll do all kinds of stuff.
Will it do derivatives?
It doesn't do a symbolic stuff, but it does any kind of thing, you know, what the regular calculator would do. You know, the old-fashioned calculator. It'll do anything that... the ones, except
scientific
like the, yeah, right, you know, the ones with the, symbolic stuff.
So it won't do pi e.
Yeah, it won't give you symbolic kind of results. It will do the numerical kind of thing. But it does all kinds of matrix stuff very nice. It'll give you the eigenvectors and eigenvalues and other things like that.
Okay.
So, and it's very nice for working with numerical data. Not so nice. There's other programs I use for like... Oh, you know him?
Yes.
You do?
I was told to look you up.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, cool. So are you from D.C.?
Actually, Hagerstown.
Hagerstown, okay, yeah. So yes. He lives not close to there. Boonesboro or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my roommate when we were here. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I know his children, Rose and Caleb, actually.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Well, our kids are about the same age as theirs, and so, you know, we're even thinking about meeting up with them spring break or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So when did you come out here, just this quarter?
Three quarters ago, took last quarter off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not last quarter, last years. Okay, transpose quarters to years.
Oh, okay. So you were here 3 years ago.
And 2 years.
2 years ago, and then you
weren't here last year.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because... I really just like type reading and writing reports.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to have to do more of.
Yeah, right, you have to. Everybody has to write.
So describe two ways of understanding what matrix multiplier
yeah.
vector.
Did I take pictures? Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Last picture should be over there.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Okay, so suppose we think about a matrix multiplier here.
So you have a matrix of
maybe a 2x2 times a 2x1 or something. Okay. So suppose this is A, B, C, D, and this is E, F. So if we look at this thing, we could look at it, first of all, one way we could say it's A, E plus B, F, which is really kind of like this thing right here. A, B, dotted with, or taken multiplied by this thing here, EF, right? So this is the vector AB right here, projected onto that vector right there.
Oh.
You know, it's the magnitude of this times the magnitude of that times the cosine and the angle between them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one way of looking at it. Now, the other way to look at this is kind of like this. If we look at this like this thing is a vector and that thing is a vector, and then if we look at this, this is like E times this vector, AC.
So where
plus
I'm being confused is the syntax, not the actual process.
Right, yeah, right.
Okay.
And this is like F times the BD. So this is a linear, this second way is looking at it, a linear combination of these rows.
Okay.
And this guy is looking at each element, you know, this is like the 1-1 element, this is... This element right here is that thing, you know, this whatever it is, smiley face here, is this guy, and the next guy down, this F, whatever he was, maybe frowny face or something, you know, that's equal to the other one, you know, there's another dot product, you know, these two guys with those two guys.
Okay.
And so there are two ways to look at this matrix multiply. One of them is these guys are giving linear combinations of those guys. And the other way is this inner product way. So that's what I was trying to get people to think about.
Okay.
And I think most people, I don't know, at least for me, this is more natural than that. But I think sometimes this is more useful. But being able to look at both of them is very important.
Okay, yeah.
So
being able to see you do that with
octave, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's how you plot. Okay.
Yeah, so I could have made a sine function instead of t squared or something, you know. Whatever you like. that's probably the most useful thing at first with MATLAB or Octave, is just being able to do plots and stuff. Like, you know, you're in circuits or something and you're having to do your lab write-up. Well, this makes it really easy.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll take some time next Tuesday. On Tuesdays, what we're going to do is we're going to have, instead of lecture, we'll have in-class work on things.
Okay.
And so, like, next Tuesday, it would be good if you have a laptop, you know, and you can get Octave loaded on it to bring your laptop, you know. And so, yeah, so that's what you should do.
That's what I spent half of class doing.
Installing Octave, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, on Tuesday, we'll play around with that a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't just erase what you needed there.
Yeah.
I think you got the idea, didn't we?
I got the idea.
Yeah.